Harper Audio presents Steinbrenner, The Last Lion of Baseball, by Bill Madden. Read by Karen McHugh. Chapter 1. George Steinbrenner's knees were trembling. He had never felt so anxious. Not even before all those obligatory phone calls to his father after the track meets, calls that often ended in rebuke and humiliation. It was shortly before 3 p.m. on December 19, 1972, and he was waiting in the foyer of the 35th floor of the Columbia Broadcasting System building in Midtown Manhattan. He looked at the door leading to the office of CBS Chairman William S. Paley, anticipating what he hoped would be the seminal meeting of his life. Steinbrenner was accompanied by Mike Burke, president of the CBS-owned New York Yankees, who had just briefed him over lunch on how to deal with Paley. The 72-year-old CBS chairman was a broadcasting and business icon, having assumed leadership of the company from his father in 1928, when it was a struggling Philadelphia-based radio network, and transformed it into the preeminent news gathering and entertainment corporation in the post-war world. Under Paley, CBS had launched the careers of Edward R. Murrow, Walter Cronkite, Charles Collingwood, and Eric Severide in the news division, and George Burns and Gracie Allen, Jack Benny, Bing Crosby, Lucille Ball, Red Skelton, and Jackie Gleason in the entertainment division. At the same time, Columbia Records, a division of CBS, had introduced the 33 and a third RPM long-playing vinyl disc and signed artists like Johnny Cash, Doris Day, Johnny Mathis, Tony Bennett, and Barbara Streisand. Indeed, almost every decision Paley made at CBS was inspired, with one notable exception. The deal he made in 1964 to purchase the Yankees from sportsman Dan Topping and real estate hotel magnate Del Webb for $13.2 million. When CBS purchased the team on November 2, 1964, the Yankees had won their fifth straight American League pennant and taken the St. Louis Cardinals to seven games in the World Series. But the team stars were past their prime, and the once fertile farm system was critically exhausted of talent. The team's legendary scouts, who for half a century had discovered and signed the Lou Gehrigs, Joe DiMaggio's, Yogi Berras, Mickey Mantles, and Whitey Fords, had all retired or died, and the amateur draft had evened the playing field for less affluent teams. 2 years after CBS bought the team, the Yankees finished dead last in the 10-team American League. And by 1972, attendance at the stadium had fallen to under 1 million for the first time since World War II. By 1972, Paley concluded that CBS had failed in the baseball business. More embarrassingly, it had failed in New York. And in July, he had discreetly put out the word that the Yankees were for sale. The 42-year-old Steinbrenner, waiting outside Paley's office, had a resume of business accomplishments in his own right. In 1963, he'd bought control of his father's Great Lakes Shipping Company, Kinsman Marine Transit, and expanded its fleet. In 1967, he purchased a controlling interest in the larger American Shipbuilding Company, then based in Lorain, Ohio, and merged it with Kinsman. The company became the dominant grain carrier in the Great Lakes, and, with the acquisition of the Great Lakes Towing Tugboat Company, quickly expanded into shipyards in Chicago and Toledo. In just 5 years, Steinbrenner had increased American Shipbuilding's revenues from $46.9 million in 1967 to $73.7 million. Through his shipbuilding enterprise, Steinbrenner had become a big player in Washington, beginning in 1968. When he lobbied Congress to amend the Maritime Act in order to get the Great Lakes more favorable tax benefits for its shipping industry. The Steinbrenners traditionally voted Republican, but the Democrats controlled both houses of Congress, so he happily accepted the job of chairman of the 1969 Democratic Congressional Dinner, one of the principal fundraising events in Washington, where he raised a record sum of $803,000 and developed close relationships with powerful Democrats, most notably Senator Edward Kennedy and House Speaker Tip O'Neill. The next year, Kennedy nominated Steinbrenner for chairman of the Democratic National Committee, but he declined, citing personal and business obligations. And the post eventually went to former U.S. Postmaster General Larry O'Brien, who later became commissioner of the National Basketball Association. Steinbrenner had decided he just couldn't divert the amount of time and energy away from his shipping business that the Democratic National Chairmanship would have required. In addition, Steinbrenner, who was always careful to say that he was not registered with any political party, didn't want to limit his influence-seeking to the Democrats, not with a Republican, Richard Nixon, in the White House.